Amen. Well, glad to have you at Frontier Church. Look at your neighbor and say, you are awesome. Look to your other neighbor and say, you're awesome too. Just not as much as me. We are so glad you're here today. Today we're excited because we're starting a new series called Family Matters. And what a wonderful day to kick it off on Mother's Day. Let's give another hand to all the moms in the house. You guys are awesome. Now, this series we're going to be talking about is about dealing with family matters. You know, usually in the month of May, we do marriage matters, but we want to talk about how do we become Christ-like to our entire family? That includes our spouse, our mom, our siblings, our family, and we want to talk about that because, you know what, here's the reality. When we talk about matters, that's dealing with real, relevant issues that affect our families. And so for the month of May, we want to discuss how we can be more Christ-like to our spouses, to our homes, to our family, to our community. And so we're going to kick off this series. But, you know, what a wonderful way to kick it off. Because for me, you know, I think in terms of family a lot. I think in terms of what family means for me. And how many of you guys remember that special family time or had a special memory when your family did something? Anybody have one of those memories? You know, back in the day, maybe it was you went fishing. How many went fishing with your family back in the day? That was a good memory. How about cookouts? Who likes good cookouts? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How about playing football or something like that with your family? Wasn't that awesome? What about watching TV together? How about just good old watching? How about eating a big bowl of spaghetti together? How many? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the Holy Ghost right there. You know what mine was? I'm going to tell you what my favorite family memory was. Every Friday night, my family would gather together, and I'm from Cincinnati, so we had basements. Don't hate me, okay? In Cincinnati, we had basements, and we would go down into the basement, and my mom would pull out the Scrabble board. Anybody ever play Scrabble before, anybody? And, man, we would sit around there, and I have all the two-letter words. I could just do the best with no and yes. That's all I knew. But we would play all night long on Scrabble. And you know what? That was my favorite memory. I mean, that just really geeked me. And, you know, it's unfortunate now because, you know, my mom's not here. She lives in Cincinnati still. Thinking about it, would y'all help me with something, please? Can y'all help me with something? I miss my mom, and she can't be here today. But I want to wish her a happy Mother's Day. And so I'm going to send her a message. I'm going to record myself. Would y'all help me send a message to my mom, please? Okay, hold on. Let me do this. Forgive me. I know we're in church. Hold on a second. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to record a message, and then I'm going to turn around to you guys. And would you yell happy Mother's Day to my mom for me? All right, here we go. Hey, Mom, I just want you to know I love you. I'm here in Leesburg, Florida, and I can't be with you in Cincinnati, but I want you to know I love you. And I got a couple friends I gathered together, and they have a message they want to give to you. So I'm going to count to three, and they're going to say something to you. Okay, Mom, I love you. I really do, you, and I know I look like you, okay? It's all right. All right, one, two, three. Look at that, Mom. Look at them. Just look at them. They're beautiful. Awesome. That ought to hold me till Christmas. All right. Moms, okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. So today, we want to go and talk about, you know, what God thinks about moms and why I want to talk about in particular today, and it's going to help for dads too. If you're a dad, this includes you too. But we're going to focus on moms today, so dads, don't feel like you're left out. But we're going to see how we can show Christ to our mothers from the scriptures. And I believe there are five reasons God says moms are the bomb. All right, say this, moms are the bomb. And so today we're going to talk about five ways we can show moms are the bomb. Five ways, all right? I want you to write these down. I'm going to tell you about them, then we're going to talk about them. Number one, the best way we can show moms are the bomb is we celebrate our moms emotionally. We got to celebrate our moms emotionally. That's number one. Number two, we need to celebrate our mothers financially. Number three, We need to celebrate our moms corporately. I'll explain what that means in a minute. And four, we need to celebrate our moms spiritually. And finally, it's TBA. It's to be announced. I'm going to share that last one with you when we get to the end of the message. But those are five ways. So I want to talk about the first one. And this is very important to me. Moms need to be celebrated emotionally. You know, one thing I learned a long time ago, moms don't like to feel like they're being tolerated. They don't want to just sit around, and especially when you have a mom that's older, she doesn't want to feel like you just think about everything. She needs to feel needed. Somebody say amen. And I think it's very important that the way that we celebrate our moms is that we need to let them know that they're needed. They've got something that is amazing that we have to offer. And the question is, when was the last time we ever told our mom, I need you? You are wonderful in my life. I want to show you what happened in the Bible when that took place in the scriptures. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Ruth chapter 1, verse 11. Ruth chapter 1, verse 11. And it's the story of three women who lost their husbands around the same time. Three women who lost their husbands, and they were struggling together. It was Naomi was the mother, and then you had Ruth and her sister, and they lost their husbands. And if we go to Ruth chapter 1, verse 11, we got it? There we go. But Naomi replied. Now, here's what happened. The husbands passed away, and they were trying to figure out what to do. Naomi was the matriarch of the family. She was the mom, if you will. But Naomi replied and said, why don't you go on without me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husband? She's saying she was the mother-in-law, but she was like, listen, y'all need to just leave me alone. Y'all need to just go on. She was going through an emotional crisis. She was hurting. She lost her husband, and she was all alone. And all she had was these two ladies that were married to her sons. And she said, y'all go ahead. I'm too old to do anything. Look at verse 12. Let's read together. Go. She was hurting. She says, you know what? I'm too old to do this. I can't provide sons for you to give a child to your name. I can't do it. And so just leave me. Just leave me. She was in an emotional crisis. And I want to show you what happened next. Look at verse 14. And again they what? Wept together. And Oprah? I didn't know she was in the Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Miracles happen. Hallelujah. No, I'm just kidding. And Oprah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. One daughter said, well, you know what? You got a point. Adios. I'm off to find me a man. And imagine the lady was saying to her, listen, I'm telling you leave me, but in reality she was saying, I need you. I feel so low right now. And one daughter-in-law missed it and said, you know what? I kissed her mother-in-law and said goodbye. But watch this. Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. Watch what happens next. Look at verse 16. But Ruth replied these words. Verse 15. Look, Naomi said to her, your sister-in-law is gone back to her people and to her gods, and you should do the same. Verse 16. But Ruth replied, don't ask me to leave you and to turn back. Sometimes when it comes to our moms may tell us they don't need our help, but how many know sometimes you can't listen to what they say. You just got to do what's right for your mom. Somebody say amen. All their life, they've been managing things on their own, doing things on their own. And sometimes they say, well, you know what? I shouldn't be in a position where you have to help me. But there are times where God will favor you if you would look on the emotional needs of your mom. Call her sometimes late at night. Call her in the afternoon. Say, mom, I love you. I care about you. This is why God says moms are the bomb. I'm going to show you what happens when you do. Look what Ruth said to Naomi. She said this. Don't ask me to leave you or turn back. Watch this commitment to her mom. Wherever you go, what? Where is it on the screen? There we go. That's why. Let's read. Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, and wherever you live, your people will be, and your God will be. Look at verse 17. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried, and may the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death. Wow. Isn't that some commitment to a mom? Wow. She says, you know what? I don't care what you tell me. I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not going to turn my back on you. And sometimes maybe our natural mothers have passed on and are with the Lord. But how many know there are a lot of mothers in the church? There's a lot of ladies that need love and a lot of ladies that are alone that we got to say, you know what? I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to check on you. I'm going to look in on you. I'm going to tell you the blessing. People watch you and they look how you take care of your mama. Women, let me ask you a question. When you're looking for a man, don't you check and see how he takes care of his mama? Amen? Amen? Anybody check that out? Well, let me see by a show of hands. Women, could you put your hands up in there? Men, I need you to look at this real quick, okay? You better learn this one real fast. How you treat your mama, people are watching. You can put your hands down, daughter. She got the hand on, like, for real. I want to show you something that people notice, how you treat your mother. I want you to go down to chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4. Because how you treat your mother sets up how people are going to treat you. Watch this. I love this. She had gone out into a field with Naomi. Naomi had moved to her land, and she had gone out and tried to make a living to help raise Naomi and support her. And she went into a field where there were workers. And while she was in the field, gleaning from the field, verse 4, she said, the Bible says, while she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. It was his field. And the Lord be with you, he said, and the Lord bless you, the harvesters replied. Now, let me explain to you who Boaz is. Boaz was a wealthy man. He was a man who had influence, a man who had land, and he had workers out on his land, and he came to work one day, came to see his fields, and there out in the field was this woman working to take care of Naomi. And he looks at her. Now, I need you to understand, the name Boaz means strength. It's a good man. Somebody say, good man. Listen, some people don't think that, you know, how you treat your mama sets up what kind of man you're going to get. Hello, somebody. Oh, I've got to help somebody in here. Boaz means a strong man. In fact, if you go a little bit further, when they built the temple, there are two pillars about 60 feet tall made entirely out of bronze. And one of the pillars is called Boaz for a sign of strength and integrity because of the kind of man this man was. Look what happens. Go down to verse 5. Then Boaz asked his foreman, who is that young woman over there? Who does she what? Man, because she was taking care of her mother, she happened to be in the right place at the right time. Somebody say amen. How many want to be in the right place at the right time to get a hookup from God? Hello, somebody. Watch this. Then Boaz asked his foreman, who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to? Verse 6. And the foreman replied, she is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. It was known that this woman took care of her mother-in-law. Now listen to me. The result of celebrating mothers emotionally is that God will bless you. And other people will bless you as well. I want to show you the results of what happened to Ruth because she emotionally was there for her mother. Go to verse 11. I want you to read this. Watch this. Boaz looks at Ruth and says these words. Yes, I know, Boaz replied, but I also know about everything you have done for who? Since the death of your husband. I've heard how you left your father and your mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. Verse 12, watch this. Read it together. Go. This man was so impressed with how she treated her mother-in-law that he began to bless her and said, you are a good woman. The result of the story was this. Boaz and Ruth end up getting married. And let me show you, Ruth married Boaz, and Boaz had a son named Obed. And Obed was the father of a man named Jesse. And Jesse was the father of a king named David. And David was the king who from his offspring came Christ. Listen, there is power that will be birthed in a woman who knows how to take care of her mama. Kings are born. Destiny is fulfilled from a person who is willing to put aside what everybody else says and says, I'm going to take care of my mama regardless. Let death come, but death can't stop me from taking care of my mama if she's in need. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you that God smiles on a person who takes care of the mother emotionally. Now, I want you to write this down. Number two, write this down. Moms need to be celebrated financially. Any mothers in the house? Let me say that again because it got too quiet. Moms need to be celebrated financially. Y'all ain't ready. Let me try that again. Moms need to be celebrated financially. Hallelujah, somebody. Y'all better learn it. Get on the road. Get it. Watch this. Outside of what God has done for us as God, we need to remember that when we were unable to do for ourselves, God says moms are the bomb in his word because they took care of us when we couldn't take care of ourselves. And in the Bible, God wants to celebrate it on moms by financially supporting them when they are in need. Now, I want to talk to you about a term. Write this word down. It's called korban. C-O-R-B-A-N. Korban. Now this is a text in scripture. I want to show you what it means. And this is another way God was using out of the verses that we ought to take care of our moms financially. The word korban means the act of dedicating something to God, thereby keeping it off limits to anything else. In other words, I dedicate, let's say, the speaker to God, and nobody can use it because it's dedicated to the Lord. Well, here's what started happening in the days of Israel. In the days of Israel, the Pharisees, which were the hypocrites, and they wanted the money of the young men in the town. And so what they used to do, the young men would get money, and they would say, you know what? That money is korban. That means it's dedicated to the Lord, and you must give it to me. And so when the parents came to the young parent, to the young child, and said, listen, I need help, the young kid looked at the parent and said, you know what? All I got is korban. I ain't got nothing left. It's all been dedicated to the Lord. I cannot give it to you. Well, what is the position of the Lord when it comes to that? I want you to open up your Bibles, if you will. And let's go to Mark chapter 7, verse 6. I'm going to read about korban and how God looks at financially supporting our parents. Watch this. Jesus was there among the Pharisees, and he made this comment to them. He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He said in verse 7, their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. He's talking about korban. Watch this. For you ignore God's law and substitute it for your tradition. Look at verse 9. Let's read this together. Read. He was talking to the Pharisees and said, listen, you skillfully found a way to sidestep God's law by your tradition. They're like, what are you talking about? We're the interpreters of the law. How could we have done that? Look at the next verse. He gives them an example. He says, for instance, God gave you this law from God. Honor what? And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of a father or mother, woo! Look at your neighbor and say, watch your mouth. No, you got to say it with the F. Watch your mouth. There you go. Can you believe in the Old Testament you weren't allowed to talk back to mama? You didn't eat soap in the Old Testament. You ate boulders. They threw rocks at you. God, listen to me. Listen. The reason God set that up in the Old Testament with the children of Israel is because he says, I need you to preserve the respect and the honor to mothers. Mothers are to be respected and honored. They are the ones who gave birth to everybody in humanity. They are blessed from the beginning, and you cannot curse them with your mouth. You must honor them with your lips. Some of us got to apologize today. Amen. And God said, listen, they were to be put to death. Look at the next verse. Watch this. I love this. Then he goes on and says this. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me be very clear about something. You know, it's real nice to be real spiritual and give, even in the church. And I appreciate everything you give. But if you give to the church and your mother's in need, something's wrong. Oh, come on, can I get an amen from somebody? Listen, we have to not forget that God would rather you take your money and take care of mama or daddy before you go and take your money and put it in the offering. Now, you know, many churches ain't going to tell you this one, but I'm going to tell you. The Bible says, listen, these young men were saying, I can't help you, mama. I ain't got no money to give you because I already vowed it to God. Look at verse 12, and that's called korban. Verse 12, watch this. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. Verse 13, and so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your tradition. And this is one example of many. So what Jesus was saying is that even Jesus, the Lord and Savior of us all, was looking out for moms. The Savior of us all was saying, listen, don't spend your money wildly. Listen, if your mom needs a light bill paid or medical bills paid or something, try to help. You got to go out there. It is your responsibility to help her. Now today, many of us are going to take our moms out to eat. Anybody going out to eat today and get something to chew on? We got like two people. Everybody, is it that bad in the economy right now? We got like one person. They all going to the same house. Dog. Everybody say korban. Don't you do it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to help somebody today, okay? I'm going to help somebody. Is that all right? Can I bless a mother today? All right, here's what I'm going to do. I got in my pocket. Not my pocket. I got in this pocket. Two tickets to Carrabba's. Anybody like Carrabba's? Oh, I thought y'all were eating at home today. Well, whether you realize it or not, moms, if you came into church today, how many people got a corsage? How many? What color? How many got a corsage? Put your hands up high. Let me see. Beautiful. Two of you got a special corsage. Are you sure? Hold on a second. Excuse me. Pardon me. Two of you got a white corsage. No. Thank you. I kept looking at all these white corsages out here. I'm like, something ain't right. I got two. I was about to run off the stage. We're going to start some trouble up in here. If you got a white one, get it. No, here we go. If you have a white ribbon on your corsage, would you please stand? Somebody else? We got one more. Oh, my goodness. Back to back, baby. Come on down. Let's give them a hand. I want to sow into you lives, your lives as mom, and I want y'all to know that you are special to God and that korban will never be spoken over your life. This church loves you for all that you do, and we appreciate you. God bless you. Enjoy it. All right. Now, let's get back into the word. Now, let me say this. Moms need to be celebrated corporately. I'm not talking about on the job. I mean corporately, everybody together. Everybody say together. That means now some people might say, hey, you know what, Pastor Steve? You know, why is it always falling on me to take care of mama? Because there's always those people that's taking care of mama, and everyone else is kind of turns a blind eye. Hello, somebody. I'm here to tell you that God says we need to take care of our mothers corporately. That means all together. Now, let me break it down for you. How many have ever seen this phrase in the King James Version? I'm going to put it up on the screen. Anybody ever heard this before? But if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Anybody ever heard that before? You know, when you read about what an infidel means, it means someone who is unfaithful, faithless. They're not to be trusted. They're unbelieving, incredulous. They're without trust in God. If you don't take care of those of your own house, then you are an infidel. And how many knows that we've always heard that to mean, how many have ever thought that meant if a man, this is how I was told, if a man don't take care of his own house, if he ain't working to provide for his wife and kids, he's worse than an infidel. Anybody heard that one before? Anybody heard that? Okay. How many believe that's true? How many believe that's not true? How many have no clue right now and they're just going along? Praise the Lord. Can I show you something? Hobbit hands, human hands. All right, we're going to do that again. How many believe that that verse is true? And it's talking about a man got to take care of his wife and kids. Put your hands up if you believe that. How many believe it's not true? How many don't know? All right, let's look at the word. I need you to say this with me loud and proud. Context determines meaning. Say it again. Context determines meaning. In other words, I've been in church a long time, and I've had people beat me over the head saying, man, a man don't take care of his wife and his kids. He ain't, and they go on and on and on and on. And then I read the Bible. Can I tell you what that really means? Let's go back to the word. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we're going to start at verse 2 to understand context. We're going to look for the subject of the text. It starts off like this. Treat older women as you would your mother. Treat older women as if they're your, and treat younger women with what? All right, and then it tells you the instruction that was given to the church of who we should take care of. Look at verse 3. Take care of any widow who has. So it is the job of the church to take care of widows who don't have anybody to take care of. How many believe that? How many believe that should be the case? Amen, I do too. I do too. Now watch this. Here's where moms need to be corporately celebrated. You got context, all right? What are we talking about right now? What's the subject? Widows. Widows. Read verse 4. But, everybody say but. Say it again like you mean it. But. Say it loud and proud. But. But if she has children, even grandchildren, their first responsibility is to show godliness at home and repay their parents by taking care of them. This is something that pleases God. Woo! You mean to tell me the Bible is saying that if I got my nieces and nephews got to take care? I mean, if you got a grandma or a mama and they got grandkids or nieces and nephews or cousins, that it is their responsibility to corporately take care of ma? Now, we have an understanding. Let's read it in context. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 8, the one we all know. But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse. That's the verse. You're worse than an infidel. The verse isn't talking about men. It's talking about all the children that watch their mother struggle. And if you watch your mother struggle without supporting her corporately and wrapping around her to help her in her time of need, the Bible says your faith is void and you're worse than an infidel. You know, a couple years ago, my mother-in-law didn't have a car. And though she's not my mom, we at the time had three vehicles in our driveway. And they were really, really nice car. And so she needed to get around. So you know what I did? I said, you know what, Mom? I said, I don't care what the brothers and sisters do. I said, I want to bless you. So I went and gave her my car so she could drive anywhere she want to go. Why do I do that? Because if I claim to be a Christian, I believe it is my responsibility to take care of my grandma and my mother-in-law. Hello, somebody. Listen, we watch television all the time, and mother-in-laws get a bad rap. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen, even though it ain't true sometimes. I don't understand that. But it is our job, according to God, to take care of those mothers according to the word. And let me close out with this one. Watch this. Verse number 4. I want to go to a new one. Moms need to be celebrated spiritually. Moms need to be celebrated spiritually. And what do I mean by that? Let me be very clear to you. Our world needs to see God. How many believe our world needs to see God? I believe that our world is desperately hungry and looking to take a glimpse of a living God. I believe that the world needs to know that God's are real. But I believe moms are the bomb because they reveal God's spiritual side to the world. I want you to write this down. Mothers are a spiritual object lesson to see God's spiritual side. You want to know why moms were made? Moms were made to send an object lesson to the world. Because through moms, you get to see God in a way you've never seen before. Let me show you why. I want you to go down in your Bible, and I'm going to show you how God uses moms to show that he's a fighter and he's willing to fight for you. Go to Hosea chapter 13, verse 8. Hosea chapter 13, verse 8. And God uses a bear cub and a mother bear as an analogy to explain how God feels about those who mess with his own. Look at this. It says, like a bear whose cubs, meaning that that's a mother bear. You never come between a mother and her child. Somebody say amen. I remember years ago, we used to live up in Cincinnati, and we had gangs everywhere. And my brother and sister were walking down the street, and a gang of about 30 guys, 30 thugs, rolled up on my brother and sister. My sister called home frantic. And so my mom said, come on, Steve, get in the car. Got in the car. She said, get your BB gun. What am I going to do with a BB gun? I better be a good shot. Boom, got you in the eye. So I had this real fake-looking gun. You know, you're the one you had to pump. You know, like, please don't hit me. Hold on, hold on. Hold on. Almost there. Load. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. My mom was in this old green station wagon. You know, let me help you. Remember those station wagons back in the day where the back seat was metal and you pulled it up and sat down in it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Lord, some of y'all looking like, mm-mm, Pastor. That was way before my time. Man, them big old station wagons with the wood paneling on the side. Hello, somebody. I ain't ashamed. Sitting in the back, pop it up. You sit down, no cushion whatsoever. I'm in the back seat of the station wagon, can barely see the driving wheel. I'm looking like, my mom rolls up on my sister and brother with 30 people surrounding them, up on the sidewalk, jumps out of the car, says, "You better stop," pulls out my BB gun, sticks out all 30 of them. I'm in the back seat like, this woman crazy. She walked out in front of me and said to my brother and sister, "Get in the car. Get in the car. Get in the car." Boy, them jokers ain't know no better. They ran. A mama will fight. Hello, somebody. Bam, I say. That's a Steve Yeats original. Bam, I say. A mom will fight for her kids. Missed it. Moms are simply an object lesson showing you a natural example of a spiritual God. That God will fight for his children. Like a bear whose cubs have been taken away, I will tear out your heart. Lord, have mercy. That's like my mama wholeheartedly. I will devour you like a hungry lioness. I will mangle you. Some of y'all heard that from your mama for real. You better get here, boy. I'll sling you out the land. I'll sling you. I will devour you like a hungry lioness and mangle you like a wild animal. What's the point? Point is, y'all better take your mama out to eat after church. She hungry. That's the point. God uses moms to show you that they are protectors like him. Go to Luke chapter 13, verse 34. Luke chapter 13, verse 34. I'm going to show you this. Watch this. This is God talking, but he uses the concept of a mother. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Every time he says something twice, that means he's really frustrated. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers." He says this, "How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath his wings, but you wouldn't let me." The only way we could understand that concept of God's love is through the concept of what a mom is. A mom will gather, has a desire for all her children to be together. Well, I'm saying something right now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got issues with your brothers and sisters, there's some internal fighting in your family, for your mama's sake, get it together. Because God is like a mother hen that wants to gather her chicks together. But don't be like this, where you wouldn't let me. Don't do that. If something's wrong between your sisters and your brother, call your mama today and say, "We got it straight, Mom. We love you. We're going to work this out because we're family." It's the greatest gift you can give your mama on Mama's Day. Somebody say amen. And the last object lesson God gives to us is that moms are like God in this sense, that God is a comforter and moms are a comforter. They know how to, anybody ever had your mama call right when you were going through something? She said, "Baby, are you all right?" And you know you ain't told nobody what you're going through. And a mama called and said, "Baby, you all right? Something ain't right. You all right? I'm fine, Mom." No, I felt something. I don't know what that ever meant, but she feel it a lot. I felt something. Moms were designed to be God's spiritual object lesson, let you know she's a comforter. I want you to look at this verse, Isaiah 66 and 12. They're God's spiritual object lessons. Moms are no joke. Moms are more than they appear to be. They were designed by God to show us his heart for us. There is nothing ordinary about a mom. Look at Isaiah 66 and 12. This is what the Lord says. I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow to her, and her children will be nursed at her breasts, carried in her arm, and held in her lap. Doesn't that sound like a loving mother? Verse 13, and I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. Every time you hug, moms, every time you hug on that baby, every time you hug and call your son and your daughter, and you tell them you love them, you are expressing God's spiritual nature on earth. You are saying God loves you with a hug. You are saying God loves you with a kiss on the cheek. Moms, you are more than just a person born in the earth. You are God's masterpiece designed to send a message to the world that he loves them. And I want you to know that here at Frontier Church, moms, we honor you. Come on, let's give our moms a hand. You are awesome. Come on now, come on. You are God's gift. Hallelujah. You are good in God's sight. Hallelujah. Now I'll give you my last point, and then we're done. Y'all can go get something to eat. Moms need to be celebrated because they're mom. Did you hear what I just said? Final point. Moms need to be celebrated because they're moms. When the Bible says honor your father and mother, it's the only commandment given with a promise, so that your life may be long upon the land. It didn't say honor your good mama and your good father. It didn't say honor them when they honor you. It says regardless of what they've done or have not done, if you want to say you love me, love your mama and your father. Honor them, says the Lord. Why? Because it's, listen, God didn't bless you because you earned it either. God blessed you because it was the right thing to do. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this to you as we close today. Moms need to be celebrated because they're moms. So I'm going to tell you this. You have to forgive them. You have to love them. You got to call them. Somebody say call. Call your, look at your neighbor and say, call your mama. No, you got to say it like I said it. Call your mama. Look to the other side and say, buy yourself a cricket. I'm like, buy a cricket. What's that mean? It's a cell phone. Cell phone. You got to love your mother. You got to forgive your mother. You got to call your mother. You got to visit your mother. And you need to tell them that you need them. How many are willing to do that with me today? I'm going to call my mama and let her know, I need her. As much as I need God, I need my mama. And if your mom's not here, maybe she's already with the Lord, maybe there's another lady that has been special in your life, that's been there for you. You need to tell them, I love you, and I need you. And you're going to be my mama for the rest of my life. Can we do that?